You hear it again and again that the Buddha said that life is suffering, even though he never said that. If he had said that, it wouldn't have been all that useful. What's the alternative? He said that there is suffering, and he enumerated a lot of the ways in which we suffer, things that we find painful, starting with birth. Birth is hard both on the mother and on the child. They cause a lot of pain to each other. They don't want to. That's just the way bodies are. And then there's aging, illness, and death. These all follow in line. There's not getting what you want, having to be with what you don't like, having to be separated from what you do like. These are all things we're familiar with. But the Buddha pinpointed exactly where the suffering was in all that. He said it's clinging to the aggregates. And there is an alternative there. We can learn not to cling. And as he said, once you learn not to cling, then even painful feelings do not have to have an impact on the mind. The mind experiences them as something separate, he says. That's the way it naturally is for an arahant. But we can work in that direction by training our minds. So we can learn how to step back a little bit from the pain and comprehend it. Comprehend exactly where the clinging is, where, what the things we're clinging to, what kind of clinging we have. So when you find yourself clinging to something and you're suffering because of it, learn how to let go. Now, you can't just let go of everything. You've got to hold on to something. This is why we work with the breath, to get the mind to settle down, so the mind can have a state of concentration, where there's some well-being inside. You've got some spot where you can stand, so you can look at these things. Otherwise, it's like being surrounded by fire. It's hard to comprehend a fire when you're surrounded by it. All I can see is fire in every direction. You want to run to the south? Well, there's fire to the south. You want to run to the north? There's fire to the north. You don't know where to go. But if you have your cool spot inside, okay, the fire can be around you, but you don't have to be burned by the fire. And that's a really useful teaching. In other words, even where there's physical pain, that doesn't have to be suffering. But to see that, the mind has to get very quiet. And you don't want to wait until times of birth, aging, illness, and death to suddenly decide you're going to take up this training. You want to do it while you can, right now. I mean, we all have aging to some extent. We've entered into the period where the body's no longer developing. It's beginning to undevelop. But at least it's together enough so that we can work with it. It's not overwhelming. Then the times when the illness does get overwhelming, or the birth gets overwhelming, or the death gets overwhelming, we don't have to be overwhelmed. The mind can be trained. The mind can have its place inside. So you want to develop this. This is your first line of defense. Because to comprehend pain requires that you have to look at it. You have to be willing to sit with it. To say, okay, where in the pain is the clinging? The painful feeling is one thing, but that's not necessarily what's driving the mind crazy. There's some clinging in there. You're either clinging to your desire for a sensual pleasure. The Buddha said that's our main problem, is that in the face of pain, all we can think about is sensual pleasures. We want to have relief from the pain. But he says there's another alternative that's more skillful. That's getting the mind to be quiet, finding a sense of well-being there in the quiet mind. knowing that even in the midst of the turmoil of life, there can be a still point inside your mind. One of the reasons we meditate is to find that. Where is your center? Where is the spot in the body where you can feel at ease? There are the times when it doesn't seem to be anything in the body at all. That's when you think about space. There's space all around you. There's space in the atoms that make up the body. In fact, there's more space there than there actually is this hard matter. Learn how to hold that perception in mind. This is where you begin to see the power of perception. And we talked today about, as the Buddha said, just the fact that you're experiencing the present moment involves some fabrication already. The fact that you're breathing involves some fabrication. And their perceptions and their thoughts and their intentions, all of these things are types of fabrication. So hold that perception in mind that there is space. I knew a woman one time who was meditating, and a voice came to her and said, you're going to die tonight. And she said, well, if I'm going to die, I might as well die meditating. So she stayed in meditation, and sure enough, pain started developing in her body. And she said it got to the point where there was no place in the body where she could focus her attention without running into pain. She said it was like being in a house on fire. No matter which room you went into, all the rooms were up in flames. And then she thought of space. So she held that perception in mind. And she had a sense that her awareness was separate from the fire in the house. And again, the space around the body, the space inside the body. There are sensations of body, but you don't have to be there to meet them. That image of the clapping hand. Usually a sensation comes up and our awareness goes right to it, and that's the clap. That's the sound of two hands clapping. But if the sensation comes, but you're not there to clap it, you're not there to hit against it, it can do its thing, but you don't have to be responsive to it. You don't have to take responsibility for it. It can just be there. And it doesn't have to hit the mind, because the mind's not hitting it. Now, how do you do that? Well, you start by having this center inside. This is where you give your attention. The spot where the breath is comfortable, the spot where you can have some sense of ease. And the mind can learn how to settle down. And then begin to realize that it can settle down not only in a physical sensation, but it can also settle down just in a perception. Like the perception of ease or the perception of space. And you can hold on there. Or just the perception of knowing, 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 aware, aware. And sensations come up, but you don't have to make contact with them. That's what the clapping is all about. You don't have to hit the sensation. You don't have to acknowledge it. You don't have to place a label on it or anything. So the sensation is there. You're not responsible for it. You're responsible for maintaining the centeredness of the mind, your perception of knowing. This is one of the reasons why we work with the breath. So we can get closer and closer to the things that are closer and closer to the mind itself, to your awareness itself. So that when the time comes that you just want to be with awareness, you're right there. And everything can go past, go past, go past. A useful image, especially when there's pain in the body, is that you're sitting in the back of a car, looking backwards, going along the road. And as soon as anything comes into your range of vision, it's already going away. For most of us, we're there sitting in the front seat looking forward, and anything that comes, comes right at us. That's how we normally deal with pain. Pain arises and that's there. But if you can perceive it as, okay, as soon as it arises, it's going away. As it arises, it's going away. could hold that perception in mind. It makes it a lot easier. You're not gathering things up. And John Lee's images of someone who's plowing a field, and the dirt falls off the plow, and they try to put it into a bag. Of course, they get weighed down. That's what you're thinking about, all the pain you had in the past and all the pain you're going to have in the future. That just weighs you down right now. Because it's too much for the mind to take. So if you find that your mind is heading off in that direction, think, oh my gosh, it's been going on for X number of hours, and how many more hours this is going to be, drop that thought. Just be with the sensation of, okay, there's a sensation arising right now and it's going away. And you don't have to clap hands with it. That way you protect the mind. And in protecting the mind, you've learned how to let go of a lot of things that would otherwise drive you to the point, brink of saying, I can't stand anything anymore. You begin to realize, okay, you can stand things. Your awareness is still there. You can maintain that sense of awareness. That's something separate from the physical pain. You begin to see that it was the way you were perceiving the pain to begin with that made the connection, that brought that physical pain in and turned it into a mental pain. But if you can drop the perception that this is my body, I'm responsible for every little sensation that comes up in the body, that the sensations do whatever they have to do, but you don't have to clap hands with them. They'll do their thing and they'll go. They'll appear and they appear as they're disappearing. Disappearing as they appear. So the Buddha's analysis of suffering is really helpful right here. Because, as I said, if he had said that life was suffering, that wouldn't be very helpful at all. But he's saying suffering is something very precise, and it's an activity that you're doing that you don't have to do. And he has that verse that begins the Dhammapada. Everything has the mind as its forerunner. And that's actually a verse about dependent core arising, his analysis of suffering. It's what the mind does that comes first before you experience anything. The perceptions you have in mind that can prime you either to suffer or not to suffer. Your intentions, the things you decide you're going to pay attention to, how you pay attention to them, all these things come prior. And it's because of them that you're going to suffer or not. So learn how to work on your own mind. Then no matter what comes up in birth, aging, illness, and death, you've got the mind protected. The instigator lies right here, but the solution lies right here as well. And this is why we meditate, in order to master these skills, so we have them at hand when we really need them.